run them jewels fast, run them jewels fast, run them, run them, run them, run them, run them, fuck the slow mo. Run them, 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 run them.
Yeah! What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Twisted. I've been gone. I'm happy to be back. Back in the saddle here at All Things Comedy Studios. Yes, I am. Once again, indoors with sunglasses on. Joining me, as always, whenever she can make it, is Julia. What's up, Julia? How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I can hear you. Is it working over there? Sure, why not?
Professional, am I?
Julia, glad you're back. Always a pleasure to see you. I hope, I don't know when the last time I saw you was. Had to be, was it 2014?
I think so.
It's been a while since we rock and rolled. Welcome back. Now, you live, we're not going to get the specifics of where you live because we don't want chronic masturbators outside your house, but you live on the other side of Los Angeles.
Yes.
Now that you're doing more studio stuff, are you going to try to move closer to the studio? Or do you like where you live
like that
you're going to...
I do like it out there, though. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, you live by a beach, nothing specific. There's many beaches out here. There's Venice Beach. There's Santa Monica. There's Costa Rica. Yeah. There's so many beaches that you might live at any of them.
I do like it out here, but it's so nice. I don't mind the trek.
And it's like when you leave to come to the studio, you leave about when? Yesterday?
Oh, I left last week, so I got here just a few minutes ago.
That's so great, right? It's just, there's so many people here now that you just, it's amazing that there's not more house burglaries, knowing that nobody's at home, everybody's stuck in traffic. I think I've talked about that before on this podcast. Very excited to be back. We got a lot to talk about. Real quick, dates out the gates. Where am I going to be? Hopefully you can come see me this week as this podcast comes out, which is the final week of January 2015. Already, we're 1 month into this year. It just flies. It just flies. I think I'm going to die soon. That's why it's going so quickly. When you remember when you were a kid, it's like, how long is this day going? Jesus Christ. Was it noon? God, I got like 8 hours more of this shit. And now it's just, it can't go fast enough. It's just, it's like God... My life is Tinder, and God just swiping days to the side. Just swipe, 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 swipe. Not even looking at the days, taking in what's going on. Just swiping right, and this I'm just aging before our eyes. This final week of Super Bowl weekend, I am in Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, Minneapolis, everybody. I will be at the House of Comedy in the Mall of America. I love this club. I always love gigging there. If you could come out... Rock out. Come and hang out. I know a blizzard's going to hit us. When I got there last time, literally 4 feet just got dumped on us. God just exploded on us, money shot style, and we were 4 feet deep. I'm like, and you know it's so weird? It's like, you know you can move. You can still root for the Minnesota Vikings from Southern California.
I'm from Cleveland, and I moved. Trust me, you can do it. And
yeah.
You can do it.
Well, you're brave. I asked my friend Chad Zumach, I'm like, why the fuck do you still live in this town? Well, you know, it's tradition. It's my family. Yeah, they got Skype now. You can Skype and see Nana whenever you want. Just get the... It's so cold. And I went home to see family, like I said in the last one, and just I just can't bear it. Like I said, our dogs had...
That's why they need you, because it's so cold. The only thing to get you out of it is booze or comedy.
Yeah.
And comedy has zero calories.
And that's why everybody gets... that's why everybody gets married so early. You just need a blizzard buddy to spoon with. That's a big thing in New York right now. Did you see that on Craigslist? Everybody's looking for somebody to fucking shack up with in case they get locked down in an apartment. You need somebody to bone. Bringing people, bad weather, bringing people together. So that's all this week. Very excited. I'm not starting, and these are just more of Los Angeles dates. I have other dates, but I don't want to go into them that far back. I'm starting a new show at a club in Los Angeles called Loaded. I'm very excited about it. It's like a rock club.
Where?
It's on Hollywood Boulevard, and it is, it's kind of like a new Viper Room. I did shows at the Viper Room. I'll never do shows there again. They always rack me on my cash. Things straight up kiss my ass. But Loaded, I'm excited about. It's just a rock club. I'm trying to start a new... It's a Sunday night show. I just want to do Sunday nights because, one, there's going to be tons of parking. Two, there's nowhere really to go up. And in Los Angeles, nobody stays home. We're all afraid that we're going to miss out on something. So everybody goes out every night. It's not until you hit 40 where you're like, oh, maybe I'll stay home. But the rest of the time, it's...
Not me. If you check my Instagram, it's nothing but me sewing at home.
You love to sew at home? That's so great. You moved to Los Angeles, pay exorbitant rent to sew at home. Yep. That's great. Are you trying to get into that lucrative sewing business?
Yeah, I'm the only one.
Is that you and the Amish? Are you just up against Amish who have nothing else to do but pump out kids and sew?
God. I'm actually from east of Cleveland where I grew up with Amish people.
Yeah, they're out there.
And they're sewing and listening to hip hop.
The Amish love hip hop now?
They do.
Yeah, I was on a train. I can't remember what I talk about the show, so I'm just going to talk about it. I was on a train and there were Amish people on Amtrak. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that doesn't fall under no electricity, right?
Okay, so there's a big thing. They call them Yoder Toters.
Yoder Toters.
Yoder Toters.
Great name for a band, by the way.
Or Amish Haulers, because Yoder's a...
If your band's called Yoder Toters and you want to play Loaded, hit me up. I'll get you into one of the best rock clubs in Hollywood.
You just started about 4 independent punk bands. You know that, right?
Yoder Toters.
But that's a big business, is driving Amish people. Amish taxi.
So you're telling me Yoder Toter is the Uber of Amish people?
It's been going on for a long time, yes.
Really?
Yeah, Amish haulers make a lot of money.
And do you drive the car and they just sit in, or do you just...
It's just like Uber for Amish.
Uber for Amish. We're Yoder Toters. And by the way, at some point I'll show you my phone. I am getting harassed by Uber... to join their, become a driver.
Oh my God, I would pay to have you drive me around.
Really? Oh my God, no you wouldn't. Everybody hates my driving because I drive the wind. My goal is get there anywhere in LA. That should be my thing. Anywhere in LA, 20 minutes or less. That should be my thing.
Okay, I would definitely drive with
you. Yeah, you better bring a bike helmet, okay, a mouthpiece, and have fucking life insurance. Some goggles, strap in, neck brace, jaws of life. So Loaded is February 8th. I'm going to load it up with some of my favorite comics. It's going to be a straight-up rock and roll comedy show, and it's just a great place to drink. The reason I used to love Loaded is because I used to party there like a motherfucker. Like, whenever I wanted to relapse, I would go to Loaded, and I'd be by myself, and I'd just do rails of blow in the bathroom and drink Jack Daniels, grind my teeth, and just be like, so happy. I was so happy just getting gacked out of my mind by myself, and no one would ever know. I was so excited. So one day I go by there, I see construction, and I just walk in there. I'm like, they just opened a rock club. I'm like, holy fuck, I gotta be there. I mean, dude, I mean, it's just, and it's only got, the thing that's so cool about Loaded is that, like, it's actually 2 rooms, and you have to go to the stage, you have to go through a door, which means I can kick people out if they don't want to listen. Be like, you want to talk? Go into the fucking bar or on the patio.
That. Yeah. I love that.
I'm going to put, in terms of like comedy, Loaded's going to be put on the map.
So when does this start?
February 8th.
February 8th, is it going
to
be?
I want it to be every Sunday if it goes well. And if I do, you're more than welcome to do stand up in there.
No one wants that, but I'll definitely go.
Why? You're my friend. You can do my fucking show.
Fuck yeah, then.
You know, it's just the problem with Hollywood right now.
Funny. They'll look at my boobs.
You don't have to whip your tits out. I mean, I'm never going to tell you not to. You will never hear those words go, no, put those titties back. I will never, and I don't think it's degrading that you want to whip your tits out. God gave you tits. Let them see them. I'm all in for to see those pepperonis, Julia. But listen, you're always invited to go do my show. I'm working on something for you. I'm trying to get you a voiceover in a cartoon.
Oh my God, I want that so bad.
I know, I saw that on your Twitter bio. My friend is like, my buddy Ben, he's been producing a lot of like, he's pitching cartoons. People hate when I call them cartoons because that's for children. Animations. He wants
animated
me to...
Animated features.
Animated TV shows.
I'm actually doing some voice work for an audio kind of... It's a radio-style podcast.
Oh, that's...
So the whole...
So it's a podcast.
Well, it's a podcast, but the whole thing takes, you know...
Oh, it's like today in history, 1956. Young lady shows her pepperonis.
Kind of.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a good time. It's called Doppel Avenue Hurt, and I'm going to be featured heavily in the second season.
Well, you have a great voice for it, and I think you'll do very well with it.
Thank you.
And then the big announcement is I am doing a humongous naughty show on Valentine's Day.
Where?
I am doing it in Long Beach at a place called, I don't know where I just got a message from my girlfriend. Where the fuck are the keys? I don't know where Maverick's keys are. I take care of Sarah Tiana's dog. My girlfriend, her dog and my dog are seeing each other. They're dating and they're old enough to know each other's body parts now. So we got to constantly get, pull them off each other. But so we take care of it, and Sarah's always busy. So we help her take care of her dog. And I just got that. I don't know where the keys are. I'm sorry. I had a great stream. I don't know. Fuck. So I'm doing February 14th, naughty show after our hugely successful January 14th naughty show, which blew 14th. It blew doors off over like 300 people at the naughty show in the main room. So I got hit up by Harvell's in Long Beach, which is one of the top live venues in Long Beach. It's this jazz club that's slowly become like a burlesque comedy club. And we're doing two shows, a 9 o'clock and like an 11:30 show. We got a great lineup. We got Tiffany Haddish, Ian Edwards, Gareth Reynolds, Bunny Fever will be there. And then I got some of the best dancers in the world. Plus, I have a very good friend of mine, Jayden Cole, Penthouse Pet, coming by to give sex toys out for all the ladies.
Okay, then I'm definitely there.
Well, that's interesting, because I have a gift for you.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well,
I have been sponsored by many a sex toy company.
If it's a fleshlight, I'm super pissed, because I don't have that.
No, it is.
Oh, my God.
A Rabbit Habit Original Deluxe. It's got everything on it.
So I can break up with my boyfriend now.
I don't know how you'll take me giving you a vibrator as a gift.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
So that's for you. I had a Tachi wand, but that thing's got the thing that
I've never used the Hitachi, but I used to have one of these.
Well, down the line when I get more Hitachis, I'll get you an Hitachi. When you destroy that rabbit and the rabbit dies, you hit me up and I'll get you a Hitachi for the next one.
Can I be honest? I used to have one that was like this. Of course, I went in saying I was buying it for someone else, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the car. I'm like, hold on, let's just try this out real quick. But I destroyed that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the longest relationship I've ever had. 7 years. And it was an off-brand rabbit, too.
Yeah, that's high-end. That's from Vibrix. Vibrix, like the number one.
Vibratex.
Yeah, Vibratex,
hey,
whatever.
Thank you, Vibratex.
Yeah, so shout out to Vibratex. Go to Vibratex.com. You can see Julia's. Can I get a picture of that? Getting your vibrator on? So great. Let's see it. Vibratex. Thank you, Vibratex. Julie.
You got to get some titty in there, right?
Titty, Cocoa Puffs. Boom. So that went really well. I wasn't sure how you were going to take that. You took it well. It's really amazing, though.
I'll take it well later.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm not making you do the... Well, that's a story for off air. It's very interesting because I always give out vibrators to all the female comics in the show. I was very proud this show.
Everyone loves you.
Well, my whole show is like, when you come to the naughty show, you're going to make cash, grass, and ass, okay? I'm going to pay you in some money. I'm going to give you as much weed as you could possibly handle, and I'm going to give you something to rub your genitals on.
It's like you can read into my soul.
Oh, yeah. That's all I do. That's all I do. If I had a couple more Hitachi wands, I would have gave you the Hitachi. I know the ladies love the Hitachi.
I've never used one. One of my friends, he swears by it. He's like,
What did I just hear? One of your friends swears by a guy?
Yeah, trust me, this is a man who knows his women. He is a total man-ho in the most amazing way. And he gets all these things. He's got a drawer full of stuff, and he has someone over, and he's like, what's up? Pick your tools.
Yeah.
He's like, take care of your women.
No, about that.
Guys, fix it. The ladies like the Hitachi. I got one.
You have one at home?
I don't. He does.
Okay.
I have a man friend who has a Hitachi.
I'll get you a Hitachi. If I do a couple shows and they send me something, I'll get you an Hitachi. Those things are like, that's like dirt in Waterworld. You know what I'm saying? It's just like prime real estate, Hitachi. And it's so funny because You can always tell what kind of human being someone is when you give them a sex toy, how they react to it. And I'm not going to say names, but some female comedians, I hand them, like, it's very interesting. Some female comics are just, they just want zero sexual energy because they just think that's either one, degrading, or they're fighting against it, or, you know, it's just like, it's like the thought of being a sex object is degrading, because at one point, it was the only way a woman could get on television was if she was a sex object. So I understand why there's this notion that that's not a good thing. But I understand that if you're an attractive woman, having sex attraction, or having men attracted to how attractive you are, that could play in your hands too. And it could be a very powerful thing to help your career. I have no problem with both of them, okay, whichever one. But sometimes when I hand these girls these vibrators, it's so funny to hear them. Their reaction to it. Like, I've handed it to girls and they're like, oh, I don't use these, but they grab it and shove it right in their purse.
I know those women.
They're like, no, oh, these are just, I don't need these. These are disgusting. Boom, gone, out the door. There's like dust in the air from them running out so quickly. They always,
like a cartoon, like dirt cloud behind them from the.
Yeah. Morgan Murphy was like, sweet, thank you. Boom, gone. One of the funniest comics out there.
I love her even more now.
I do. I love Morgan Murphy. I have a weird crush on her, too, and I can't.
You should. She's hilarious.
Yeah, and I'm sexually attracted to her, too. She's got a great ass. I have a girlfriend, but I really love Morgan Murphy's mind and her ass.
I was just going to say, I love her hair, but
I'm all in. I'm all in. So if you want to come down Valentine's Day, and you're in Long Beach, I'm telling you, you have to check out Harvell's. It's such a great venue. It's so much fun. If you're a single lady, come down. If you're on a date, come down. I guarantee you, you will have the best. It's going to be the best date night.
Are you going to Uber anyone?
Yeah, I will Uber you. For $200, I will bring it to the show, Uber you, give you a fleshlight, jerk you off with it, send you home. So that's it. What else is going on? Real quick, I know last week we didn't have an international bad boy show. I've been sick for literally a week and a half. Like, wondering, do I have AIDS kind of sick? Like, you ever had that? You're like, this isn't just a normal cold. This is a virus that's trying to kill me kind of cold. That and it's so funny. Hit up any of your friends going, dude, I'm really sick. They're like, AIDS, everybody, AIDS. You have AIDS. It's like, dude, that's not, if you think about it, that's not really that funny. And by, like, the fifth guy telling you you have AIDS, you start going, is that the feeling about me out there?
And do you WebMD?
No, I don't. I did that one time. I 30, and it told me I had Alzheimer's. I'm like, okay, this does not make any sense. You got to stop WebMDing yourself. It's just like, whatever you got, you got. So I went to the doctor, and he said I didn't have the flu, and he just gave me some antibiotics. And it was just really rough. Because I got it during the hardest week of like, I had so much going on during that week, and it was literally the worst week for me to get sick in terms of live performing. It was so hard.
Well, because you're doing I've been watching the Comedy Store, you know, and every night you're there, it seems like.
Don't say that, because word will get out, and then people will be like, why is Sam there every day? It's an interesting time at the Comedy Store, man. It's a very interesting time. It's a changing of a guard, and it's a new era. And some people like it, some people don't.
Wait, why do you think that people would get upset knowing that you're...
Because the amount of spots for people who used to get up there all the time have dwindled incredibly. I mean,
but you wouldn't be up there unless you are funny.
Yeah, and I understand that, and sometimes I have to tell myself that, but I feel for some people. You know, the old booker used to give certain people 3-4 spots a week, and then the new guy comes in, and he's a good friend of mine, and I love Adam, and I have nothing negative or bad to say about him, because I think he's in a really tough spot, because I think there's powers that be that are outside, that are above him, that have been waiting for this opportunity to start booking the club they want the way they want to book the club. And, you know, it's becoming a famous person club. And part of me is like, that's great, because now I go to the store, every night it's packed. And it's amazing. God, I just wish I could talk about this thing. Like, my love of Chris D'Elia is just like, I appreciate that fucking dude. I swear to God, they should give that guy a fucking statue outside the Comedy Store.
He's there all the time.
Well, he should be. He's like a big name. It's his time to shine. But it's just the women just love this guy.
He is Lady Catnip for some reason.
100%.
I've seen
someone called him the Cheesecake Factory of of dick because girls just love him. They just love him. And it's just... He gets off stage and now I'll run to the front just to watch what's about to happen. And ladies, they just surround him almost like he's Bruce Lee fighting a clan of ninjas. So it's one dude with his back to the wall with about a fucking, I'm not lying to you when I say anywhere from 5 to 10 women.
I've seen it.
All chicks applying for who's going to have his dick. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched men just get angry at first, and then they just are in awe of it. And they just can't, you can't hate. You just cannot hate. It is so amazing. And I just walk by, and it's not like fours and fives. It's hard eights, nines, and tens. And it's truly amazing. And you can't help but just appreciate it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Back in my day, my youth, I was slaying some serious tail, but not to that level.
I know. Yeah, he's like that rock star without music.
Well, that's what comedians are. They're lead singers without bands.
You are absolutely right.
100%.
I know you go up there and you feed off the crowd.
Yeah, the crowds have been. They're either really great now or just last two. Crowds at the Comedy Store just for me were just off. It's just weird. It's reformatting now, the Comedy Store. It's rebooting, like, with all these new people coming in and they have new crowds. They're bringing a crowd that didn't necessarily always go there. So it's just an interesting thing. So
do you think there's some that don't know how to act?
No, I think there's some that just, you know, it's like Anthony Jeselnik has his own type of crowd. Joe Rogan has his own type of crowd. Chris D'Elia has his own type of crowd. And do they necessarily all match and mingle? I don't know. You don't know. They're all bringing a crowd. And do all those crowds, do they gel up? I mean, it's like, it's just fun to see. And, you know, I just refuse. Like, there's a new comedy. It's like the new way of comedy is pop comedy. It's just pop comedy. Like fake, not, I don't want to say fake because then it comes off like I'm judging it. It's edgy that's not really edgy. It's edgy about shit we all are agreed upon. And I'm not judging anybody because I don't care. I really like everybody at the store.
I think that most people kind of know what you mean.
You know, when you describe pop music, it's like no substance. Right? Then you say pop comedy, like, well, is it the same thing? It's like, I'm not really trying to demean anybody or talk down, because I like all those guys. It's just great. But their form of comedy, it's like, nobody's really, like, getting into the meat and bones about who they are and what they are. Maybe that's better. Maybe that's how you get all the corporate shit going, you know? Just, like, you don't really just disclose too much about yourself. But that's just not me. I want to talk about the time I smoked crack with a robot guy and he tried to suck my dick. Like, I find that interesting as shit. If I'm going to go to a live show, I want to see something I can't do. I want to see something I can't come up with. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you hate a dumb movie? Because you're like, I could have done that. That was fucking dog shit. That movie needs to be set on fucking fire. It was horrible. Was that a 2-hour YouTube clip? But then you go see something like Birdman, you're like, dude, I couldn't do that if you gave me a gazillion dollars. I could not do a movie like Birdman. And that's why I'm like, this is amazing. And it's great to see a movie that has some kind of, you know, mass appeal, but it's just so original in content. That's what I want to see. But I don't know, man. I'm more and more I realize I'm from a different age. I still crush it, and I'll put you fucking 6 feet deep.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Do you think that, do you mean that there's not a lot of Bill Hicks types and people really pushing boundaries?
No, because I think Bill Hicks, if he came out, that style wouldn't do well right now. It was more about, for me, his jokes were great, but it's from a different time. You could take time for a setup. You could have a, You could lecture people on your point of view and politics. That ain't going to fly no more. You know, people don't want to be preached to. They don't mind having some, like, kind of like, hey, this is how I see the world. But you better make it entertaining. It's entertainment first. You know, a classic line I heard once on HBO was like, get them laughing, slip them the truth. That's really what you got to do. Where I felt with Bill Hicks was like, tell them the truth, maybe get a laugh over it. You know, I grew up on Bill Hicks. He's one of my favorite. I'd put him on my Mount Rushmore. I know, like, Ari Shaffir thinks he's overrated. But I definitely think he's great. But I don't think that time that you could do that right now. That was, nobody knew what stand-up was. It was brand new, and it was like people just came to see people talk, and it's a different time. Now it's like no wasted lines, got a boom, 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 boom. That's just where it is.
Do you think any of it has to do with our short attention span with media the way it is? Like that instant gratification?
Yeah, there's definitely something to that, but it's also like, it's look at music right now. I mean, you compare music to the 70s and now you could say it sucks, but let's take the best music you like, brand new music. Like, my new band right now, I opened with it, that I really like, is Run the Jewels. If you listen to Run the Jewels, there's no wasted time in that song. There's always a beat, there's always something, lyrics, it's always really good shit. That wasn't how it was back in the day. Back in the day, it was like slower beats, boom, boom, boom. You know, it was like slow grinding, now it's power fucking. Man, you're just power fucking. There's no slow grinding and revving it up. It's power fuck. That's what it is. That's what music is, and that's what comedy is. It's you got to have a line. Every line or every other line's got to have something. Your setup, kind of into the intro, can have into the joke. Can I have a little discussion? And you can do a lot of setting up. But once you get into it, it's got to be bam, 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 and that's just how you get a running laugh, and that's how you get a rolling laugh. Excuse me, and you know, it's just a different time. But I don't want to just do, you know, just kind of like I call chick-friendly comedy. I don't want to be up there, let's make the girls laugh. I don't care. You know, I want to fucking flamethrow shit. I want to go up there and be like, this is real. And I always laugh. Whenever I get a crowd that's just like staring at me, I go, you know, you are just staring at my real life, right? You are just going, I don't find this funny. And it's all real stories. You think I'm trying to shock you? I'm telling you about a day in the life of Mr. Samuel Victor Joseph Tripoli. These are the things. I smoked crack with a guy who tried to fucking suck my dick, and I had to fight off a silver robot guy. I don't know why you find that offensive. I'm just being honest with you. I'm here to fucking shred, dog.
How do people not laugh?
I don't get it, man, because sometimes they'll just fucking stare at me. Well, because, you know, some people do comedy, they think it's Ellen. And I love Ellen. Dude, listen to me. I love Ellen. I love comedy. I love how to watch comedy. I can study comedy. I like what Ellen did. I loved her a long time ago before she even got her TV shows. I remember watching her thing going, that girl is a great writer. That is a funny comic. I love it. But that's just one end of the spectrum. But the problem is everybody lives in that spectrum. And they don't understand that part of the spectrum. They don't understand it's like a whole.
She's also very family friendly now, where, you know, that's part of her image. And I think she's reached a level of success that once you get there, you don't have the same kind of struggles, you know, so I don't think she has as much to pull from in a...
Well, I mean, yeah, it's very hard for her.
She's a
multi-millionaire lesbian. It's like, what is middle America going to relate to that?
Right. So she keeps it family friendly.
Yeah. No, I don't care. I don't know Ellen. Usually I can get a radar of someone who's an asshole. I don't get that from her at all. You know, I don't get that at all. I sense that she's real in what she does. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I just don't want that career. I don't want to be that morning show guy, and never that I'm even close. Don't have any desire to do that. I just want to talk shit. I just want to rock. People like think I'm the porno comic guy. I'm not the porno comic guy. I'm the rock and roll guy. I want to shred rooms. I want to shake fucking walls. That's what I've always wanted to do. I just want to go up there and, like, let's have fucking fun. We're busting our hump all week. We're working our asses off. Let's go fucking have a drink, tell some fart jokes, and let's all get laid. Why is that? That is such a weird fucking thing. And I'll get into my fucking hatred. Not hatred's the wrong word. I don't like hipsters.
Bring it on. What do you got?
Do you consider yourself a hipster?
People probably do. I'm very frugal and I make stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think that. I think you're dressed very lovely. I don't think you try to mismatch clothing on purpose, you know? I mean, I just saw some dude had like a orange shirt, blue pants on, and a fucking lumberjack hat on. It's like, that's just trying too hard. But let me get into it. I was sick, and I'm done shaking hands. I'm done. I'm just going to bow Japanese style. It's either that or walk around with like Armenian assassin gloves on, looking like I'm a hitman telling dick jokes on stage. I mean, that's where I'm at. I can't shake hands anymore. I just can't. I'm shaking fucking 20, 30 people hand a night at a comedy club. At least 10 of them are sick.
Carry Purell with you.
That's, you know, now I'm going to start, I'm going to become all the Howies. Howie Mandel and Howard Hughes. I'm just going to become these fucking weird germaphobes. I'm going to end up shitting in jars and burying them in the backyard because I think there's listening devices in my poop. I'm going to tell you, man. It's going to get fucking weird out there. Man, this hour is flying. I got a lot of shit to get into, literally, and I'm going to put it in a jar.
What's the hipster thing? Is it just...
Well, let me get into it. So I was very sick this week. It started on Wednesday night, the Naughty Show. I know there was a bunch of people there shaking my hands, high-fiving me, because it was one of the most successful Naughty Shows I've ever done. Next day, I'm sick. I'm sick as a dog. I got to go do this X-Bids, which is the rival of AVNs. I have to do red carpet for Fleshlight. They're the fucking best. Loved it. Had a great time doing it. I'll go into next time about the whole experience, but XBiz Awards. I want to get into something real quick. So I'm at this awards, and then I'll get into why I hate hipsters. I was at this awards. It was really funny. The acceptance awards are hilarious. I fucking hate award shows just because of the acceptance. The notion that, oh my God, I can't believe I won. You're paying someone like $8,000 a month, a PR person, to fucking get you in on that award show and to fucking rally some votes for you. Then, oh my God, I can't believe I won. And the speeches are just retarded. I mean, Common, did you see the Common speech? Common did a speech thanking the producers of Selma. He goes, for being brave enough to make this movie. Brave enough to make a movie about Martin Luther King? Is that really brave? Is that brave? Infers risk. Like, you're going out on a limb.
Like if I said I'm against Nazis, you know, yeah. Really going out on a limb there.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fucking limb. Are you fucking serious? You want to be brave? Make a movie that says, hey, Bill Cosby ain't a bad guy. That's a fucking risky movie. I have a joke about it. I do it in the rants that I did for All Things Comedy, so I don't want to get into that part. You'll hear it in my Oscar rant that I did for All Things Comedy. Doing some rants coming up, rant videos, and they asked me to do it. And I do a big rant on that, so I don't want to go too into that. I'll let you know when those videos are out. But the funniest thing about these X-Biz Awards is these girls are literally crying. They can't believe they won. And which... Knowing how many people are nominated, it's the first time I believe what you're talking about. Because these porn awards, all they do is nominate everybody so everybody shows up. That's how you get girls there, by nominating 50 people for each category. And these girls come up, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I won. They're like, listen, if you ever doubt yourself, you're ever wondering what's going on with your life, all I can tell you is just believe in yourself. Fight. Work hard. Set goals. Don't give up. And you, too, can achieve your goals. Look at me. I'm like, you just won an award for 8 black dicks in your ass. That is the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. And that just lets you know there's no reality. There's only perception. And to them, that's their Oscars. And she is the Meryl Streep of fucking international gangbangs. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the best part of this is friend of the Naughty Show, Nikki Benz, goes up on stage, and she's having a feud right now with a woman named Lisa Ann, who's also been on the Naughty Show, who played Nalin Palin. And the feud all starts is that Nikki Benz took pictures of herself in Dubai. She'd gone to Dubai. And Lisa Ann basically called her out going, you're there prostituting yourself. And Nikki Benz went fucking nuts. They just start going at each other, first about boob jobs, then start getting really dark into like who molested who got molested. It got really bad. So then at the X-Men Awards, Nikki Benz is giving away, is one of the presenters of the awards. Before she even gets into it, she starts railing Lisa Ann on stage. Fuck you, you bitch. You got an ugly tit job. Nobody likes you. Glad you retired. You fucking... I mean, which is some ghetto gangster shit. It's hilarious. But what cracks me... And supposedly they got a fight in the bathroom. They started swinging on each other, which I would... I can't believe that's not on World Star Hip Hop by now. The amount of black men they both banged, that is current black news. But my favorite part of this whole thing is that what starts this fight is the fact that they're just... Nikki Benz got angry that she got called a prostitute for being flown to Dubai. Now, I love Nikki Benz, and I don't want to judge it that. I'm going to judge it. What is the difference between having sex for money just out in the streets or through escort service and having sex for money on camera? Like, what is the difference? Like, me and you, I see no difference.
Oh, they don't give awards to hookers.
They should.
I agree. I deserve an award. I've done some weird stuff in my day.
You've done weird stuff sexually?
Probably.
See, that turns me on more than... People always get mad at me. They're like, oh, how many of these chicks you ever banged? I'm like, I haven't banged one fucking porn star. Dude, what's wrong with you? You weird? I'm like, it does not turn me on. I mean, don't get wrong. I've whacked my putt to porn more times than I would ever want to admit.
I did this morning.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to really whack that beaver with that fucking rabbit.
I'm actually really pumped about this.
I'm excited for you. I hope your boyfriend doesn't hate me. But I see no difference than someone paying you to have sex on camera and someone paying you to come into the hotel room and bang.
I accidentally paid for sex once.
What?
Okay. And I say accidentally because this was when I was a freshman in college. I had... This is like the third time I was even remotely sexual with someone.
Yeah.
So I'm like 19 or whatever. I had had $50 in my bra because I was wearing a dress with no pockets. And I was going to buy some recreational narcotics later. And
Is it anything other than weed?
Maybe.
Okay. That's great.
And the thing is, I hadn't actually gotten to that point yet. Instead, I'd already been drinking. So I decide I need to take some of my clothes off.
Where?
We were at a party.
You got naked at a party.
Somewhat naked. And part of that nakedness revealed $50 that I no longer recognized was even in my bra. And, you know, then I end up having sex with this guy. I feel this sounds super scandalous, but it really wasn't.
But no, it's you got drunk and fucked somebody. That's
I might have done.
That's called how half the human beings became on this planet. What do you? There's nothing scandalous about that. That's why alcohol is invented to get bitches fucking liquored up, so they fly like an eagle.
Yeah, that's why I like to smoke as opposed to drinking.
Now weed doesn't get you horny.
Well, it does, but it doesn't make me do stupid things like that.
Yeah, Rogan has a funny joke about that. It's like, when you get drunk, you'll eat a chick's asshole. You smoke some weed, you stare at the ass going, that's not a good idea. Me, not me. I'll go to town all the time. By the way, just found out that the show Girls did a big segment. Some chick got her ass eaten on fucking, which is hilarious that that's a fucking scene in a mainstream show. Like, I'd like to read that. I would like to be at that table reading. And then you bend over the sink and he shoves his face in you. How do you do that without actually doing it?
I don't know. Make bananas.
If we were acting and I was in your face and I was supposed to eat your ass, and you're going to let me... Would you be mad if I didn't eat your ass? Like, being honest. Would you? And we're two actors on a famous HBO show.
No, I've thought about this before because there's... I think it was Vincent Gallo, actually,
yeah,
when he was with Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah, and she blew him in Chocolate Bunny, I think it was called.
Whatever. I haven't seen it, but...
She got dropped by William Morris after that, for all.
There's a big thing about that real sex, and it's basically pornography at that point.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
It's a weird, blurry line. It's,
you know what pissed me off about... And I'm still going to get to this hipster shit, okay? What pisses me off is, like... TV and movies love to make stories about shit I do in my life, but they don't want me to be honest about the shit I do in my life. So they want people who won't be honest about the stuff they're going to reenact shit I do fucking for the love of the game. It's so interesting. You can't be interesting anymore and make a dollar in entertainment. It's becoming like fucking politics. That's why we only elect lying assholes. Because no one can be honest. Yeah, I did coke. Ouch, some chick's asshole. You know, Hillary would get points from me. Like, yeah, there was a time I was doing blow off of fucking Bill Cosby's dick. And I would actually be honest, that was probably the happiest time of our relationship. Boom, I might vote for you. I was talking about this, and I'm going to get into this hipster shit. It's like, the drug czar in America is a guy who's never done drugs. That is literally the only position where you have to have zero experience in what you're governing. That's like fucking putting Tommy Chong in charge of the military. He has no clue how to run a fucking military. You want someone, you know what the drug czar should be? Charlie Sheen. Because he knows where the drugs are. He'll tell you how to stop crystal meth. He'll probably smoke it before the kids can do it.
Yeah, and he can tell you without actually testing people who's on it.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, high, not high.
Yeah.
All right. So let me get into why. So anyways, I'm sick. I go to the XBiz Awards. I do red carpet. I wasn't really happy with my performance. Sick. It's weird because it's
comic performance?
I was doing red carpet for Fleshlight, and I just wasn't happy with...
Sorry, you were talking about sex and performance.
Yeah. No, I'm always happy with my performance. I don't have a big dick, but I bring heat. I fight to win.
That's how every man should be.
Yeah. This chick comes and goes, you don't have a big dick, but you do damage. I'm like, that's right. My dick's got a Napoleon complex.
I dated a guy like that for a few years.
Yeah. You know? It's like, I get it, man. Chicks like big dicks. But, you know, it's like, I think in about 70 years, all the little dick dudes are going to die off. And all it's just going to be nothing but fucking elephant trunks of walking.
I don't think so, because the guys who don't have a lot of action downstairs, if they work on the oral game, they're in. Literally.
So who would you rather date? Big Dick Tom or Sweet Pussy Eating John?
See, I've got a few questions here.
Okay.
The pussy eating guy, how bad is the actual sex and how much of the sex is just...
I think he's got a 6-inch dick and he's good at it, but he's the Michael Jordan of eating pussy.
Yeah, I want to date that guy.
Okay. That's very respectful. Very respectful. Well, that's cool. You know, it's just like everyone's different. There's some chicks who love a monster hog. I'm going to say they have giant vaginas and nobody ever wants to talk about that. And that's cool. You probably have a car trunk for a vagina. And I'm not judging that. It just is what it is. I mean, I don't got a big dick at all. I mean, and I hooked up with this chick one time in Canada. I had to shoehorn my dick into that vagina. Everybody gets quiet.
Well, you had to duffle it in?
Yeah. I had to be like, Jesus Christ, lady. Oh. What do you got, midget pussy?
I didn't know they made them that small in Canada.
They all different sizes. That's why a little dick dude's got to find a fucking small pussy chick, and a big dick dude's got to find a chick who likes big dick. You can't talk about big vaginas. Everybody gets quiet.
It's different if a woman's had a child. I can at least understand if there's a little, you know, it's not always going to snap back 100%. But also, a big vagina doesn't necessarily mean the guy's got a small dick and vice versa.
No, I'm with you.
You know, and
I'm just saying, find some pieces that fit.
Find your puzzle piece.
Yeah.
This is all about finding your soulmate.
Sex should be like Legos. So I was really sick and at the worst time possible in my life because I had to do the roast battles at the LA Riot Festival, which is LA's alternative comedy festival. And I got to tell you, the festival is wonderful. It's a great time. All my friends had their shows up there. It was a lot of fun to do. I was very honored that I was asked to do the roast battle. I picked my friend Tony Hinchcliffe, who is a very funny, funny roast writer. I've gotten roast jokes on Comedy Central's roast, but I'm not necessarily the guy who's sitting in the room and cranked out the jokes. I could do that. It's just not my thing. I've learned that people don't want you to say if you wrote jokes for them. But I've written for two people. I've gotten two jokes on each time. One joke each time. So I'm very happy about that. I know great jokes. But I'm sick as a dog. I have no fucking energy. They pull us down. I go down first. I've never done the roast. I just show up. I'm literally a walking corpse. I'm so sick. I have no energy. They introduce Tony Hinchcliffe. He comes out with a bunch of black guys throwing fucking roses in the air, putting on a whole show. Now I'm already in the hole. I'm sick, and I've just followed Ric Flair of fucking. I have no, I'm in a, and then I look out the crowd and I realize this is Hipsterville. Everybody in it is drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, having fucking, you know, corduroy pants on. Just,
if it makes you feel any better, for some women like myself, it just makes the whole downstairs arid and dry. It just,
yeah,
you can hear my vagina drying up as I see that.
By hipsters coming in, just not. Just the basic look of a hipster is, yeah. I don't care, but I really care too much. Oh, by the way, I can't remember the last time I showered. It's just, right? That's kind of the look. And that's a room full of this. 150 people. I'm going to say this right now. Tony won. And I'm going to say it. I'm not at any point trying to take away anything from him beating me. At no point am I trying to say, here's the blah, 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 why. I lost fair and square. If you want to know why I think I lost, I'll be more than happy to discuss that. One, I was sick as a dog. I was getting, the fucking judges were the Sklar brothers, Moshe Kasher, Rel Battle, which I have, don't even get why he's in there. Guess his last name's Battle. I don't know. He's a nice kid. I don't like getting judged. It is what it is. And Jeffrey Ross. I worked with a couple people on these jokes, and they're like, these are killers. These are killers. I've been doing comedy for 20 years. I know joke writing. I studied joke writing. I know joke writing. These hipsters just stared at me. And I had no energy to put the fucking speed on the fastball.
Well, and that's the problem. Sometimes if you don't have the right timing, you could have the best joke. If it's, you know, you could have the...
It's all timing. It's all timing. I mean... I just dropped my first joke. I got fucking nothing. Now, I'm also phlegmed. And they probably couldn't understand half the shit I was saying. But when they did, they still stared at me. And everything he said, fucking blew. Now, it's funny. He's saying funny shit. Not take away from it. But I know great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some jokes to you.
Gotcha.
And you could tell me whether... You don't tell me whether they. I should have won. Just whether they're good or not. I'm going to do my opening joke, which I was told by a couple writers that's your opening joke. Tony Hinchcliffe tells everyone and anyone that his father was in the mafia. The only thing Tony's father was whacking was his 10-year-old dick. Blank stares. Here we go. What was the next one I did? The next one. What's the next one? I'm just going to go down these and read them, and you tell me if they are funny or not. Okay, here we go. I've heard Tony's the greatest. Tony's a genius. Tony's the next big thing in comedy. Tony's a comedy superstar. Finally, I got so sick, I told Tony to shut the fuck up. Right?
I like that one.
Right? It's good. It's good shit. Tony looks like he won a makeover in a concentration camp.
Oh. That's pretty rough.
This is the only joke that got a huge laugh. Tony, how can someone look 14 and 60 at the same time?
Okay.
Here's a good one. Tony's a dick and retarded, which means he has asshole burgers.
I need to go more to the roast battles.
Yeah, these are all great. This is my fun. This is a great one. Nothing. Fun fact. BoJack Horseman is based on the true story of Tony's face.
Aww.
Nothing. It's nothing. Just stares at me.
I didn't even get groans.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He's like a reverse centaur. He's got the face of a horse and the body of a 13-year-old girl. Nothing. Tony can't even go to Africa because poachers will kill him for his teeth. Nothing. Tony was telling everybody he's going to make my girlfriend cry. That was he was telling everybody at the Comedy Store. I go, fun fact, you want to make Tony cry, just tell him no teeth while he's sucking your dick, okay? Nothing. Tony, if you're here, who's sitting on Jeff Dunham's fist? This is the joke where I knew I was in trouble and I was going to lose. And this was my second joke I did that night. And that's why I knew it was over. Tony has Inch in the middle of his name, which is hilarious because he loves nine of them in the middle of his ass. Right? That's a great joke.
That's pretty good.
Nothing.
Then again, I mean... And Tony's hilarious.
He's great.
He definitely has a certain type of look, and I think that the hipster crowd, you know, sees themselves in him or something.
100%. And that's what I want to say. They think I'm...
You're like the comedy dad who's like...
Who shoved him. Dude, he had great jokes. Not taking anything away from him.
He's a very funny guy. So I guarantee he came at you with some good stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like if you go to a Dodgers stadium, you're not really going out on a limb by being like, hey, Dodgers, right?
Yeah. It's like so fucking awful. And it's just like, you guys are fucking nuts. And like normally in a show, first of all, I would if it was any other show on the planet, I would have canceled because I was so sick. But I knew that Tony had worked on his thing and Jeffrey Ross and Moses had wanted me to do this. So I didn't want to cancel on them. So I went out and I did it and I got fucking hammered. And it really, it was really rough, man, because I got hammered and then I had to go home sick in bed, stewing in my fucking what the fuck just happened. And it was rough. And it was, I literally thought maybe Uber driving is what I should do. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted to rape Moshe Kasher after the show. I wanted to inflict pain on his asshole for him doing all the hacky Uber jokes to me. The other guys are like, oh, God, Sam, why are you making us pound on you so bad? And they stopped. But, yeah, I could not believe the hipsters just staring at me. I'm a badass joke writer, even though Ari will tell you different. I'm a badass joke writer. And it was just like they just stared at me. I would love to have done that at the Comedy Store. I think it would have been a different reaction.
Where was that? I thought you were
downtown.
That's the difference.
Yeah, it's hipster town.
If you would have done that at the Comedy Store.
But I'm not an asshole. That's the funniest thing. It's completely and utterly fucking snap judgment. In that they think I look like the guy who shoved them in their gym locker, tried to fuck their girlfriend. I'm not that guy. I was a virgin loser in high school. It wasn't until I got to college that I started fucking crushing it. But it was
too.
So
I didn't crush any posts until I got to college either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fucking weird, man. It was. So those were the jokes. I got my ass handed to me. And that's kind of where I was. So we only got a couple minutes left. Can I go just a tiny bit over an hour?
Yeah. You're the last one for today.
Okay, cool. Because I got to be somewhere at 4:30. So I'm just going to do a couple quick little fucking things. I want to get into this. American Sniper. Okay, this is what I'm going to call our special, The Week in Reviews. No, real quick. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to get to that. A little segment I call Random Thoughts with Sam Tripoli. Welcome to Random Thoughts with Sam Tripoli on Twisted with Sam Tripoli. That'd be weird if it was like you were on Twisted with Sam Tripoli, but it was somebody else's Random Thoughts. Why do we still beep out shit on television? Why do we still do it? We all know what you're saying. I can understand the 50s, 60s, 70s, why they beeped it out.
What channel?
Whatever channel it is. I mean, listen, man. Well, it's probably going to be cable. We'll go more cable. Network, they don't really have any of the beeping. Once in a while, they have a beeping. But I can understand way back in the day why we beeped. Because not everybody said the word fuck every other word. The word shit every other word. Now, it's like water flowing. Everybody's saying, fuck, I want to start a change.org to remove fuck from the swear words. Because fuck is just like, it's like people hate the word. Well, I can understand you can hate it if people said fuck, fuck, fuck all the time. It'd be like someone's like, dude, 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 dude. You're like, please stop saying the word dude. But it's like, fuck is like, it's in the vernacular of, everybody says it now. Babies say the word fuck. Children, there are.
No, my problem is, have you watched At Midnight at all?
Yeah.
Well, they'll bleep out, they'll let you say pussy, dick, but you can't say cum. Or there was something else that they bleeped out. I'm like, I think we know what they're
saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is that there's so much more prevalent. Everybody's saying them. Like, and what I hate is the commercials, like, we don't give a beep what you think. You know, it's like. So now advertisers are just trying to get credit for saying the word fuck, but not get away with saying the word. It's like, say the word, man. It's just a word.
Oh, you mean like, gosh darn their gibbity-gibbits.
If I'm on television going, well, the two people were having intercourse, how's that any different than me going, well, the two subjects were fucking in the park? Like, we're saying the same act. It's the same act. It's the same behavior. But because you said sex and I said fucking, all of a sudden I'm the weird one? It just doesn't make sense. It's not, it's 2015. I can understand in the 70s, 80s. Listen, I was around, I didn't hear people saying the word fuck everywhere. I was the only one, again, saying the word fuck everywhere. It was so bad when I was a kid, people didn't want me to meet their parents. I'd be like, what's up, Mrs. fucking Dorado? How are you? Be like, God damn it, Sam. You just said the word fuck. Yeah, it's just a word.
Oh, man, I'm fucking sorry for saying.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Sorry, man. Sorry I said the word fuck. Right? It's weird, right? Do you understand what I'm saying, though? It's like...
You're preaching to the converted.
Yeah, it's just like you are saying... It's just weird that we're... Don't say it. If it's in like, you know, I'm on the Tonight Show, and like when Dane Cook went on the Tonight Show and said the word shit, and Jay Leno got pissed, but they beeped it. I can understand that to a point. But don't write a script and then beep the word. Just say the fucking word, man. It's like we're grown-ups. When are we going to be able to just say the word fuck free-flowing? When all the grandparents are dead?
Probably.
It's ridiculous.
Probably.
It's ridiculous. So that's my weird rant. I don't know if that meant anything to anybody. Final thing I want to get into, because I can't spend a lot of time on this. I want to get into the movie American Sniper. Bill Burr was on Real Talk with Bill Maher. And I thought Bill did great. I thought Bill had a lot of great points. They brought up American Sniper. A lot of people don't know what they feel about this. It's done $200 million. Some people think it's a patriotic movie. Some think it's propaganda. I'm going to tell you that this movie is everything. It's both has good points and bad points. You know, was he a hero? Was he a psychopath? I'm going to tell you it's probably both. It's probably both. You know, Bill Maher got really mad because he refers to the Iraqis as savages. But you know what? I haven't been to war in Iraq. I haven't seen friends have their limbs blown off. It's very hard to sit there and tell people they have to be politically correct when they're in the middle of fucking war. And then the question comes, should we even have been over there? So that's why I'm telling you it's both. It's literally both. We shouldn't have been over there, but he is over there, and he's dealing with the wreckage of the Bush administration's decision making.
Yeah, but how could you do that without being a little bit of a psycho to do
100%. To kill 250 people in any way, there's a level of psycho. And we've also found out he's a compulsive liar. Like, half the things he talked about in that book was research. It never fucking happened. So that's more upsetting than anything. And you know what, man? It's just like, dude, I've been to Afghanistan. I've seen it over there. It's fucking crazy. You know, this guy most likely joined the military because of 9/11 and he wanted to help, you know, quote unquote, democracy. And then he got fucking redirected to Iraq, which was a colossal fuck up. But you can't, I can separate my appreciation for the troops and from the decision making of the war hawks who just want to make money off of fucking war. So I don't know if I'm going to go see American Sniper. Because I don't like that we went in Iraq, but I support the troops. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
I'm not against the soldiers. I'm against the war.
Yes, 100%. I will do a USO anytime, all the time. But I do not like that we are in the business of war. I don't even know why we call it defense anymore. It should just be called offense. Because that's all it is. We are constantly on the offense. It drives me crazy. But the reason I got into this, because I know this is a comedy podcast... As much as people can hate the United States, and I am not one of them, we are flawed, but I travel the world. It's great. We need to really watch so it doesn't slip away, because what we have here is stability. That's why America's crazy. Great. Because you can walk down the street and not have to worry about a band of fucking leftist gorillas pulling up with guns, kidnapping everybody, you know? And it's why we're overly sensitive, because we do live in such an amazing country, where everything is so controlled. We can get mad over stupid shit because we don't have to deal day to day with real shit like genocide and war crimes that happen in villages all over the place. Do you know what I'm saying? So we can live. But what makes America great is when I hear this story of the base in Cuba, Guantanamo. A book is coming out by one of the people in there. This is the most amazing, hilarious thing I've ever heard. This detainee, I'm trying to find his name, and I would butcher it anyways. I want to say his name is Shalah. His name is Shalah. He put out a book. He went to court. The courts allowed him to put out this book. In this book, he states that two female officers, guards, walked into his room and forced him to have a menage a trois. And they walked in and they go, "We're going to teach you what American sex is all about." And he had a threesome with two guards at Guantanamo Bay. If you don't think that this country's great, we torture our detainees with top shelf sex. How crazy is that?
What I don't get is he must have been into it to some capacity, or you're not getting it up.
Yeah,
right?
100%. He's like, "I hated them. They made me talk dirty." It's like, really? But it's the notion that our torture is threesomes just lets you know what a great country this is. Anytime you want to torture me with two chicks at once, let me know. That is the most amazing story I've ever heard.
You would go into jail so quick if that were torture.
Oh, yeah. If I'm just stacking chicks, that'd be great. Hitting holes like a champion. How funny is that? That's the most mind-blowing thing. And it's just, American women are so amazing. They really are. The sexual freedoms out here is fucking awesome. And why? Like, if I lived in Iraq and I'd be watching Americans. By the way, the Middle East, they don't hate our freedom. I hate that notion. They hate us because we're over there. And then, unfortunately, it's going to go so long that it's just not even going to be about that anymore. And it's just going to be about, they just want to fucking take us out. And just eventually it's going to be like that. But the rumor is that over there, they all have satellite dishes and they love hardcore pornography. It's right. It's just like these.
They're not the only ones.
Yeah. Everybody loves it. But why? The rule that women shouldn't be allowed to have sex outside of marriage or with people they don't know. Why would you make that fucking rule? Because whatever rule you have, and I've said this before on this thing, whatever conservative rule you believe in that is punishable by God, there's somewhere in the world where that happens every day and nobody gives a fuck. And there's no flying monkeys coming from the fucking skies and fireballs. No, Amsterdam would be ashes if any of this fucking religious shit was true. If you couldn't have gay sex, you couldn't get gay married, you can't have prostitution, you can't fuck strangers, you can't do drugs, can't do any of that. If any of that was real and there was somebody really, there was a real life fucking ref, a fucking warden of the world, fucking paying attention to what's going on, fucking Amsterdam would be fucking rubble. It's just it's nothing. The fact that we fucking tortured a guy by having threesomes with him renews my faith in this country. If you ever want to know how great this country is, just know we tortured a war criminal with threesomes. Now, the only way that threesome could be bad if those chicks are both threes.
And that, together, there are six.
Yeah, so I'm telling you. And he's like, "Oh, I can't take this. Oh, you American pigs, I hate you." And he just blows loads all over everybody. Well,
what are your other plugs?
My other plugs is I want to plug, go to Sam Tripoli, at Sam Tripoli on both Instagram, Twitter, samtripoli.com. I need to start updating that more. And if you like the rants, listen, I get your messages. I love that you guys like the rants. I'm going to keep doing it. I mean, I'm hoping to get the numbers up. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Get the numbers up. Rate, review on iTunes. Let people know if you really do like it. I would really appreciate it. I thoroughly enjoy doing this show. Julie, I love that you're on the show. Thank you for being the voice of reason. Why this guy in sunglasses indoors screams and shouts about threesomes in Cuba. But I had a great time. I hope you guys can come see my live dates. I just really enjoy everything. I appreciate all the support. I appreciate everyone, even though, you know, it's not Punch Drunk, but I appreciate everybody tweeting everything about Ari Shaffir's TV show and special. I really do love that guy, and I'm really happy he's doing well. And hopefully that show, if you guys get a chance, every Thursday at 12:30, please check out This Is Not Happening. It's Ari's television storytelling show, and it's extraordinary, and I'm really happy for him. Anything you want to push?
You can follow me on Twitter if you want.
Please. What is it?
Julia W.D. Harrison.
Of course. All right. So I'll include you in the description of the show. Oh, I'm really put. I want to end on this. Recently, my good friend Tony Roybal from college has passed away. I've lost 11 people in 3 years. It's been really rough. This was rough. I don't want to get into how he passed away. until I have all the information. I don't want to get up there and say it, but I just want to say it's crippling that I lost him. I love Tony Roybal. I think you're an amazing human being. I'm sad you're gone. I wish you could have called me and we could have talked. And hopefully, you know, hopefully you're in a better place, buddy. And I love you very much. So I'm going to go out with the song Tool's Eulogy. Whenever I lose a friend, I play this for them. I miss you very much, Tony Roybal. You were one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life. And with that, I love you guys very much. And we'll see you guys on the other side. I'll see you guys next week. Take care. Bye.